Hi, Commander Williams. This is Nicole Claus from the Kodiak Daily Mirror.
Yes, this is Mike Williams. How are you?
Hi, doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
Good. Well, I wanted to do a story. I heard that you were from Kodiak and saw actually a story that someone else did on Mr. Foley, and they mentioned you, and so I wanted to do one on you for our local Kodiak newspaper.
Sure.
And so I was just hoping you could tell me a little bit about your background, Commander Williams, and how did you end up becoming a chaplain for the Navy?
Well, my road to the chaplaincy really started out with a calling to ministry when I was young, about 12 years old, and I kind of struggled with what that really meant. And over the years, I kind of whittled away what I felt God wanted me to do and answer that calling. And so then I decided to go to seminary at Denver Seminary in Denver, Colorado. And while I was there, I interviewed with a couple of the military chaplain recruiters and really felt that the U.S. Navy had the most variety with regard to the different types of ministry, different types of community that I could be a part of. And so I applied and was accepted, and then the rest is kind of history.
Now, did you grow up in Kodiak, or is that just the most recent place where you lived before you went over to Afghanistan?
No, I did not grow up in Kodiak. I grew up in the state of Illinois.
Okay.
And on a small farm there. But once I came on active duty as a Navy chaplain, Navy chaplains provide chaplains to the Coast Guard. And so I was assigned to the Coast Guard base there in Kodiak, Alaska. And while I was there, I became a resident. And my wife and family are going to retire near Kodiak. And so I maintained my residency and looking forward to retirement, heading back that way.
So how many years did you live in Kodiak then? Or have you?
About 3.5 years.
Okay. And was working for the Coast Guard different? How was working for the Coast Guard different than what you're doing now?
Well, the Coast Guard is an amazing organization. The people that are in the Coast Guard are some of the most phenomenal people that I've ever met. It's pretty rare that somebody would risk their life to go into harm's way to save someone. And what I'm doing now, young Americans are risking their lives to fulfill a mission, certainly. But the Coast Guard is just a different mission and different mindset, and I'm just very impressed with those folks. What I'm doing now is traveling a battlefield and providing worship services and pastoral counseling to Marines and sailors, and oftentimes soldiers and civilians, contractors. So very different settings, different purposes. But, the Coast Guard is just full of great people.
Well, what part of Afghanistan are you currently stationed in, or what area?
I'm stationed in the Helmand province of Afghanistan.
Okay. And how much travel is involved in your role over there?
Well, to give you an idea, I've been here 7 months so far, and I've traveled, I just added this up the other day, I've traveled over 6,190 miles.
Wow.
And I've gone on 59 helicopter missions.
Oh, wow.
And I've traveled on 35 convoys for 820 miles.
I'm just curious, in your time over in Afghanistan so far, I mean, is there any kind of one moment that stands out from you when you really, know you made a difference and helped someone, or something that you'll always remember from your time over there so far?
Yes. We had a Marine who was killed in an IED explosion, and all of his buddies were, obviously very, very upset about his death. And I was able to go to some very remote forward operating bases and meet with those Marines, pray with them, and spend a lot of quality time with them. and this meant a lot to them. That's what they told me. So
okay.
I think having a chaplain do those kinds of things is very important to for people.
Okay. And, I mean, did you always know that you wanted to be working in a battle zone as a chaplain?
Well, I think once I became a Navy chaplain and I recognized all the different communities that were out there, I really have an affinity for Marines and what they do. And in my opinion, the ministry is the richest when crises and tragedy is the greatest. Mm-hmm. So I requested to come here. Again, this is my second year-long tour in a combat zone. And although I miss my family very dearly, the ministry is just so rich.
And your family?
People talk very openly about their faith or lack thereof.
Okay. Is your family still in Kodiak? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that the first time.
No, they're not in Kodiak. We are stationed at 29 Palms, California.
Okay.
And so my family is there right now.
Okay.
And but we are certainly looking forward to retiring in Kodiak.
Okay. And so you said this is your second year-long tour. I mean, what's different than the first time that you went through over there?
The first year-long tour that I had was in Iraq.
Oh, okay.
And it was very kinetic. We lost a lot of Marines. And this one isn't as kinetic.
Okay.
But it's still, you know, obviously very demanding.
Right. When was that first year-long tour? What year did you do that?
I deployed to Fallujah, Iraq, from January 2007 until February 2008. So it was about almost, not quite 13 months, about 12 and a half months.
Okay. I mean, would you say this experience has changed your life? And if so, how?
I would say it's changed my life in the sense of, after the first year-long tour, I really wanted to come back at the end of the war to watch our bases close down and watch our footprint shrink. And for me, it's provided a lot of closure in the sense of, yeah, we're stepping out of this country, but we're doing it the right way, and we're helping the people as much as we can. And that's really important to me, to see that kind of closure.
Okay. Did you didn't get to do that? Did you get to do that last time or no?
I'm sorry?
You said you wanted to go back at the end. Did you get to actually go back?
Well, the first year-long tour, I was there when we were still involved in some pretty kinetic war fighting.
Okay.
And so we hadn't really pulled out of Iraq at that time. I'm in Afghanistan now, and we're kind of at the end of this war. It's winding down, so I'm actually seeing closure now from this war, at least from the war in Afghanistan, whereas I did not see that in Iraq, just because of the time frame I was there.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm just curious, what is the response from the Marines that you're working with over there when you help them? I mean, what is the response? Do they like having you there?
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but Marines love having chaplains.
Why?
Come around and visit them. They love, you know, when we show up and do services, but most people just love to be able to talk about their life situations with somebody who holds that conversation completely confidential. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that a military chaplain provides. You know, there are on the base where they don't get to talk openly as often as maybe they'd like to. And then when I come or the chaplains come, they're able to share a part of their life and talk things out and get some advice totally confidential, which is really huge, I think.
Okay. I mean, what makes you continue doing this, I mean, day after day?
Well, it keeps going back to what I feel is a calling from God. I feel that God wants me to do this, and thankfully it's something that I'm good at and I enjoy. So I like to do it. I feel God wants me to keep doing it, so it kind of fits.
Okay. Can I ask what a typical day is like for you doing this in Afghanistan?
Probably a typical week is a better question, but when I'm here on the main base that I'm on, there's a lot of planning for trips. Travel here is a little bit complicated. There's planning for trips to go to remote forward operating bases, or what's called a FOB. And so we get all the planning done. I certainly do counseling while I'm here, and I do have some senior naval officer leadership roles that I take on here. But then once we travel, I'll be gone anywhere from 3 days to 2 weeks, traveling around the battle space, visiting folks. And then once I'm out there, I just take on the life of whatever FOB I'm at, whatever base I'm at.
I mean, is that hard to do, to take on the life of whatever base you're at?
Oh, no. You know, there's an ebb and flow to every place you go. Some places are very, very busy. Some places are not so busy.
Okay.
When we get there, you know, we fit into their schedule. And I walk around and talk to people, and the guys that are standing post, guys that are cooking chow, guys that are in a COC-type setting. And it's not hard at all. It's very enjoyable, actually.
I mean, do you ever do any baptisms over there or anything like that?
I do. I've done 3 baptisms since I've been here. And I talk to a lot of folks about their faith, about growing in their faith. And the baptisms have all been done here on the main base where I'm at, where we have an actual place to do that.
Okay. Do you see that people grow more in their faith when they're in a war zone like that?
I believe they do. I believe that when a person is put in a little bit of a stressful situation, or they're away from all the things that occupy their mind and their time, then they think about many things, and one of the things they consider is faith. They consider who God is. They consider their relationship to God, and then I fly in to visit them, and there's almost an automatic conversation already set up, so it's pretty convenient.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious, first of all, when do you get back, or when is your tour over?
My tour out here will be over next fall, middle of next fall.
Gotcha. And I'm just curious, since you plan to retire to Kodiak, what did you like the most about Kodiak when you were here? What makes you want to come back?
It's a combination of things, but mostly I like the people in Kodiak. Mm-hmm. Straightforward approach to life. The ruggedness of the environment seems to attract a certain rugged person. And, of course, the beauty of Kodiak is always a draw. So there's several things there that are drawing us back to Kodiak.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that you can think of that I didn't touch on about your work over in Afghanistan or your background that you want to mention?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Well, like I said, I was just interested in writing a story about you for our local newspaper, since you did work in Kodiak for a few years and wanting to come back, and I think it would be a great feature to let people know about the work you're doing over there. So.
Well, I appreciate it, Nicole. I appreciate the fact that you contacted us and that you took the time to ask me the questions and to listen.
Oh, great, great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Commander Williams.
Well, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.